Welcome to Royal Grace Chapel, the Empowerment Center, where faith comes alive through inspiring messages and teachings. At Royal Grace Chapel, our mission is to empower you to connect with God in worship, relationship with other believers, and enable you to fulfill your purpose for global impact. We believe in the power of transformation through the Word of God, and that's exactly what you'll experience as you journey with us through our plethora of messages. Get ready to be equipped, uplifted, and empowered on your path of faith. Be transformed as you listen to today's empowering message.
I want to share on the subject, now that you are born again, what's next? Now that you are born again, what's next? So the first thing I would like us to first understand, I do not want to assume that everybody knows what it means to be born again. So let me ask, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? In order to understand what born again means, of course, the word literally comprises of two words, born, then again. In other words, you have been born the first time, you are now being born the second time. So let's quickly do some background study. To be born again, why is it important? Because all have sinned, or all were born in sin. All were born in sin. Every human being were born in sin. Now, I use the word born deliberately because Adam was not born, he was made, created by God. Eve was not born, she was made, created by God. So when I use the word born again, that means all were born into sin. It means we proceeded out of someone, right? You see, tonight's service, those of you who are joining online, I really want you to pay attention because it's going to help you understand who you are, especially if you're born again. So, to be born means to proceed out of another. So, all were born, proceeded out of another in sin. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, look at it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, when did that happen? Now, the day you lied was not the day you first sinned. The day you stole something from someone was not the day you first sinned. The day you fornicated first was not the day you sinned first. The day you became a robber, a thief, a murderer, that was not the first sin that you committed. Do you want to know the first sin you committed, Nelson? All right. Do you want to know the first sin you committed? Okay. Now, every one of us need to know the first sin we committed. The first sin we committed was not the one that we actually acted first. Was the one that you were born with. The day you were born into this world, you were born a sinner. All, look at it, for all have sinned. So, how did you sin? The moment your father and your mother conceived you from the womb, as long as you proceeded out of a human being, what formed you was two human beings coming together or insemination or whatever, you were born a sinner. Sin is inherent in our nature. So before you lied, you have sinned. Before you did anything, you committed the sinful act, we inherited sin by nature. And it is that nature of sin that produced the acts of sin. Are you with me? It is the nature of sin that began to produce what? The acts of sin, the deeds of sin, the actions of sin are a product of the nature of sin, which was inherent in man. Let me show you Psalm 51 verse 5, Amplified. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, I was brought forth in a state of wickedness. In sin, my mother conceived me. And from my beginning, I too was sinful. Psalm 51 verse 5. Amplified, so that we can see it very well. Amplified. Let's expound on it. Say, I was brought forth in what? In a state of wickedness. In sin, my mother conceived me. And from beginning, I too was what? Sinful. I too was sinful. From the beginning, I too was sinful. Excuse me. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. KJV. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For that all have what? Sinned. Do you see it right now? So we inherited sin. That is why most of us did not need to go to the school of lying before we knew how to lie. How many of you went to lionology school? Chartered Institute of Lying. But yet, have you seen some chartered liars before? Some chartered liars. That when they lie, you will leave the truth and go for the lie. Chartered liars. When they lie, in fact, chartered liars are actually called crafty people. Craftiness. Because I told you that craftiness means to perfect the art of lying. They lie without blinking, such that you will just believe that what they are saying is true. They don't no sign to give it away. In fact, some of them, they are used for spies. Chartered liars. How do we get to that point? Because of the nature of sin that we were born with. Hallelujah. Now, that nature of sin has only one destination, which is to lead everyone that is born into this world after the fall of man to destruction. By default, everyone born of a woman, everyone born into this world has one destination, and that destination is called the destination of what? Destruction. You may be a career person that is so successful, doing well in your business, doing well in your career, doing well in your place of work, wherever you're working, a good daddy, a good mommy, a good sister, a good brother. But there is only one destination that awaits everyone that has the nature of sin, and that is the destination of destruction. Look at it. Mark chapter 8 verse 36. For what shall it profit a man, or amplify say, what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world with all his pleasure and forfeit his soul and lose his soul? John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. So by default, every man is on their way to becoming what? Perish. The road, when you see every human being by default, the road we were all on is called perishing road. Perishing road. As they are moving, waking up, there is only one destination, and that destination is to make them perish. This is then where it gets interesting. So if every human being were on the road of destruction, every human being were on the road to becoming perish, every human being were on the road of death, what hope do we have? That is what it got, where it got interesting. That is why the Bible used the word, Jesus used the word born again. Born again. Now look at it. John chapter 3 verse 3. John 3, 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Watch. Have you ever wondered why he says, see the kingdom? Of course, at another point, he said, enter the kingdom. But you have to see it before you can enter into it. If not, you will miss your road. It means the day you became born again, you no longer see things the way you used to see them. The way you see things changes. That it is your seeing. Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The way you see things is what will make you decide that no, there is a necessity for me to draw near to God. There's a necessity for me to start doing this. Meanwhile, haven't you seen that your friends who are not born again, they don't see any reason in what you are doing. They don't see this. You think you are normal. The day you became born again, one of the things that was affected was your vision. You see the kingdom. As you begin to see Jesus, you begin to see the kingdom, it began to motivate you. It began to move you. And you see that how you are beginning to live your life is totally different. I see the kingdom. Say to yourself, I'm seeing the kingdom. Now, verse 7 said, Jesus said, don't be surprised that I'm saying unto you that you must be born again. Don't be surprised. John 3, 7 said, don't be surprised. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. In order to see that kingdom, to operate in that kingdom, you must be born again. You must be born again. Now remember, the first birth, we inherit sin. We inherit sin. Just follow me. And that nature in us began to produce different action. The nature of sin is what makes people do the things they do, even against their will. The nature of sin causes a man to make decisions in a certain way. And eventually it leads to where? Destruction. They will perish. Then Jesus still then used the word born again. Now, I told you that the word born means to proceed out of another. Right? Yes, say, oh, who born you? That means that where do you proceed from? To proceed out of another. Then Jesus then said, oh, you were born of the, look at it again. John 3, in fact, he said that he that is born of the spirit is spirit, and he that is born of the flesh is flesh. Give it to me. I think John 3, verse 5, thereabout. Check verse 5. Check verse 5 for me. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is what? Why is he using the word born? Because we say, I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again. Now, the first birth, you proceeded out of your mother. But now, we are still using the word born. That means, if I'm using the word born again, I must also, by all means, proceed out of another. If not, I can't use the word born. I can't use the word born. I can use the word create or made or what order. But the word born means by all means, there's another procedure. I have to emerge from another. That is why Jesus then said, born of the Spirit. In other words, to be born again then means to proceed out of the Holy Spirit into Christ. The everything about being born again is about the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the agent of birth. You are now birthed into Christ. So that is why he kept using the word. In fact, if you read further, he said, unless you are born of the water, he spelled it out. Give, I think verse 7. Unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit. Born of the water, give me verse 7. Jesus has said unto them, except you be born of what? Clap for this guy. They are helping me. Whoever is there, they are helping me today. All right. Thank you. I was saying 7, but he saw that it was in 5. Thank you for help. That's what it's meant for, really. Except a man be born of water, which is the word, and of the Spirit, husband and wife, in a kind of sense. He's trying to help you understand that there are two agents here. You are proceeding out of them, the Holy Spirit. Say, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So every child of God who says is born again has the life of the Spirit. It means that you have emerged out of the Spirit of God into Christ. What does it now mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? It means to be baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. To be baptized. Baptized means immerse. To emerge. To be immersed into Christ by the Holy Spirit. So at salvation, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us. You think that you hear the word. Haven't you been there? You hear, as you are hearing the word, Jesus said, the word I speak to you, they are spirit and life. As you are hearing the word, and you know, words are spirit. You can't see it, but the effect is audible. The effect is visible. As you are hearing the word, somehow, something happened in your heart. You are convicted. You hear the word, and you are convicted. The agent of that word is the Holy Spirit. He convicts you. Now, you have emerged, born into Christ. Are you with me, somebody? That's what it means to be born again. Immersed by the Holy Spirit into Christ. You are received into Christ. To be born again, to be received into Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Are you glad you are born again? You are getting to know it better. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Now look at it. Therefore, if any man be where? Oh, are you sure? Therefore, if any man be where? That means who took you into Christ? Who took you into Christ? The Holy Spirit. Good. How was that action activated? Through the word you heard. I'm going to explain it later. But if any man be, he took you, immersed you in Christ. Then look at it. He is a new creature. All things. What is the old thing? The nature. The old nature. Your mother's nature. Your father's nature. That Adamic nature passed away. Behold, all things have become what? But let's pause. We are so used to this scripture that we don't really find out the mean, the really, really, really thing that it means. The word that is used here is a new creature. A new creature. If you check your dictionary, go and check the word creature. It means is the word that is used to describe a living thing. A mammal. A mammal. That's a creature. So when a new species, tortoise is seen, so that's a creature. Dog is a creature. Now, the Bible says, watch, when the Holy Spirit took you into Christ, you emerged a new creature. He didn't say you emerged a new person. No. He didn't say that the same you is the one that came out. He said, no, when you went into Christ and came out, you are a new. New means new, not old. New means new, brand new creature. And your name, your identity is now the man in Christ. In fact, that's what Jesus said, born again. Born again is your new identity because you are a new creature. It's not the old you. It's a new you. Even though this creature is using the flesh, but inside that container called your flesh is a new creature. It was not there before. It only emerged after you became born again. In fact, that creature is different from the old one because that creature now lives by what Jesus called eternal life. He has the life of God in it. So even though the container, the flesh is the same, what was inside the old container was the old nature, the Adamic nature, that loved the things of the world. Now, in computer, we can say that the computer, the hard drive was then formatted. Maybe what you were carrying before was Windows XP. Then all of a sudden, after it has been formatted, a new operating system. Now we can call it, what's the latest Windows now? I'm not a Windows person. So what is the latest Windows? Windows 11. So a Windows 11 is now installed in it. It's not an updated thing that took place. Update means the old one is there. Then we just patch it with some things. This one is totally a new installation. In other words, we can say you have upgraded. Upgrade is different from update. Update means you've retained the old components and we've just tweaked it. Upgrade in this context means this is totally new. The old has given way. So in this container called your flesh, the new person that is there was not the same person that used to be there. You are a new creature. The devil now has to look at you. He doesn't recognize you anymore. Because he wants to see his own nature in you. But that nature is not there. He looks deeply. All he can see is, he cannot see your past record of sin. He cannot see your record of fornication. He cannot see your record of adultery and the wrong things you have done. Why? Because that person that did that thing had been replaced. That spirit had been replaced. And if the Lord created a new spirit by the Holy Spirit, that your new identity is now in Christ Jesus. Is somebody with me? So it's not an ordinary thing that took place when you say you are born again. It's a major thing. It's a major thing. Now, if this is true, Pastor, how come after I became born again, I don't really see any significant change in my life? I'm sure that is the question some of us have genuinely. When I became born again, yes, I know what you have said is biblically right, but if I must be fair with myself, I could not really say that I experienced that shift from the old to the new. So could there be two born again? Or could it be that I'm not really born again? I'm sure some of us have that question. I didn't know this. So every time they made altar call when I was a young boy, I used to go out and give my life to Christ. Because it was something I was looking for. Because when I give my life to Christ, I go back to school on Monday, Tuesday, everything looks the same. I still do the same thing I do, feel the same way I felt. I did not know how to go about that. And I'm sure some of you, that may be your question. That's why I say, well, now that you are born again, what's next? The reason why most people, I think Pastor Gabriel can be outside. I can see Vincent and some of them outside. They can be inside. I really want them to be partakers of this place. Because I don't think the media team took the sound outside, and we really need to look into that. Okay. The reason why this is so important for us is because most people, shortly after they emerge a new creature, die in a certain sense. They don't grow. Their walk with God is not different from the old things, old ways. Nothing has changed. So tonight, what's next after we are born again? That's the question. What's next?
How can you live that victorious life? Romans chapter 8, verse 9. I'll read from the Voice translation. Voice translation. But you do not live in the flesh. You live in the spirit. Assuming, of course, that the Spirit of God lives inside of you. The truth is that anyone who does not have the Spirit of the anointed living within does not belong to God. Just follow me as I read this. The Passion Translation of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. The Passion Translation, 1 Corinthians 2, 15. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things. And they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. You have the TPT translation. Check it there. Is there? The Passion Translation. Is there yours? Sorry. TPT. Those who, 1 Corinthians 2:15. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things. And they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. You will see something that is very common in the scriptures I'm reading. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, KJV. Galatians 5, 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6, Amplified Bible. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6. For this is why the good news of salvation was preached in their lifetimes, even to those who are dead, that though they were judged in the flesh as men are, they may live in the spirit according to the will and purpose of God. What do you see that is common here? The greatest task before a child of God when you became born again is not that there are two being born again. It's not that there is an original born again and there is a fake version of being born again. The challenge is not that, oh, you were not really born again. But the challenge before you after you became born again is knowing how to live and walk in the Spirit. You see, when you were born in the flesh, your mother fed you. It took you time, but by associating with your mother, your parent, your sibling, and other human being, your vocabulary began to develop. You were being fed milk. You have been fed different food. You did not grow up overnight. It was a process. Elamite's son, Nathaniel, is recently pacing around learning to walk. And it's very interesting. You will see that even as a man, I just enjoy, even when it falls, I'm not, it's not a big deal. Because he's learning to walk. And in that stage of his life, almost 1 year old, he cannot pronounce a lot of words clearly, but he expresses it by that four teeth. When he's happy, when he's not happy, he throws tantrums everywhere. But does that make him less of a human being? That he cannot walk, does that mean that he's not a human being? That he cannot talk now, does that mean that he's not a human being? He's a human being who is developing. So what the parent does for him is to create that environment that will help that child grow. And as long as that child is in that environment, that child grows. If you have watched the movie, is it Aladdin or this other one that was raised among monkeys? There's one movie. Tarzan! Actually, Tarzan's story is true. Because if you go and check, there are children that were discovered among animals in real world. And but one thing, one of them in Russia, when they discovered the child, was just barking. Woo-woo! Woo-woo! Because he was raised among wolves. Google for it, you see. Was raised among wolves. Another one was moving like Tarzan does. Because you see, in their environment. When I say woo-woo, it made me remember Joshua. Thank God he's living among human beings. Because the little time Joshua sees dog, he will stand by my, in fact, yesterday too, he will stand by the window and say, woo-woo! I said, shut up. Shut up. He said, no, that is dog. It doesn't mean that you should be back like dog. But do you realize that if I was not an influence in his life, it could be barking? If he was in an environment where only dogs exist, his brain and everything about him will recalibrate that is the normal way. You are born again. There is no doubt about that. But that where most people fail in their salvation walk, why they have not grown to become strong Christian, is that they do not know how to live and walk in their new nature, which is the Spirit. Remember John 3:5 says, he that is born of the flesh is what? Is what? Is flesh. He that is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So you see that when you became born again, most children of God fail because they still want to walk in the flesh. They want to live by the nature of the flesh. So they still eat the same way they eat. They play the same way they play. They dance the same way they dance. Everything they do is in line with their human nature. But they don't exercise. They don't know how. I'm a spirit person now. I have a spirit nature in me. I am now of the Spirit of God. How do we operate in this kingdom of God? How do I live as a spirit being? This is where a lot of children of God fails. So you see, after some time, it will be as if though they are not born again. You doubt your own salvation. Because you see, nothing has changed. No, something changed. But the thing is that you didn't know how to grow. So you were still talking and walking and doing things the way you used to do it before you became born again. I will say this again. When I married my wife, nothing has really changed. She's still the same girl. Her hair did not change. Her makeup did not change. Everything physically is still the same when you get married. But you see, her lifestyle changed. Because the day she said, I accept you as my husband, from that reception, from that church, from that reception, she didn't go back to her house. She began to follow me. I said she will follow me all the days of her life till death do us apart. It's an anomaly for her to say after the church wedding, right, that now I'm going back to my mother's house. No. Marriage means everything naturally is still the same. But she had to understand. She accepted the reality that I must not live like a married woman. And one of the ways a married woman lives is to stay with her husband. Then, cook for the husband. Provide food for the husband. Stay with the husband. He's your new daddy now. He's your brother now. He's everything now. And from there, you are now growing your own family. That's a reality. That's a reality. So physically, nothing has changed. But you see, our understanding who she is now, that she's not the same woman before she married me, that understanding has evolved in the way she lived her life. Most children of God fails because they live by the dictate of the flesh and not of the Spirit. The reason why most children of God are not growing is because they have not learned how to walk this new nature of
salvation. Let me say this to you. Jesus said in John 3:16 that you have eternal life when you become born again. That is not just a name. It's your new identity. It's called eternal life. That means there is an eternal lifestyle. Are you with me? That means there is an eternal lifestyle. Eternal lifestyle. Eternal nature. It means there is a way. It's not called physical life anymore. It's called eternal life. Eternal life is not a description of the life we will live in heaven. It's a description of how we live on earth. It's in you. Then it dictates how you live. So if somebody asks you, hey, why are you doing something? Say, oh, I have eternal life. I'm a child of God. And eternal life means this: we do things in conformity to this lifestyle. Is somebody with me? Now, how do you walk in the Spirit? Number one, let's look at the Word of God. In your old nature, before you became born again, that nature, that sinful nature that you were born with, the inherent one, only needs one thing to live, which is food. The Spirit is dead because for all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. So a man that is not saved has a dead spirit. The same man comes to this side. He's now born again. The Holy Spirit is in him. He has a new nature. But do you know the mistake he makes? Every morning when he wakes up, he only still eats rice. He eats eba. He eats akpu. He eats jollof rice. He does not know that Luke 4:4 says, what does it say? Remember, man shall not live by what? Which man is that? The new man. The new man. So already, when you become born again and you are living by natural food alone, can you survive? No. You are born again, but you are not feeding your spirit. And the moment your spirit is not fed, you'll be weak. And when you are weak, you'll be sick. In fact, let me say this. It is not normal for children of God to be sick, to be defeated. All those are signs of an unhealthy spiritual life. A lot of things that we see in our lives today, Jesus did not see it there. The standard, see, if we are not there, does not mean we should accept it. That is not the truth. The Word of God is the final say. Jesus showed us the standard of living for every child of God. Jesus showed us that this is the way to live as children of God. He exemplified eternal life. And that is what you and I should be aiming for. The standard of living of Jesus Christ. But you wake up every morning. You eat. You drink Coca-Cola. You feed the flesh that is inherent. You see, this one did not change. The only thing that did not change when you became born again is your flesh. Your spirit changed. So, and this flesh is still of the devil. But the spirit must learn to overrule the flesh. But you keep feeding the flesh. The flesh becomes stronger and stronger. And your spirit, man, becomes weaker and weaker. You don't study the Word of God because you want a miracle. You study the Word of God to feed your spirit to be strong. The moment, see, don't let anybody deceive you. Show me any Christian that is suffering affliction. I will show you a Christian that his spirit is weak. A lot of children of God, their spirit is very weak. No, look at you today. When you woke up this morning, what did you do? You've eaten, you've drank. Everything you did was for the flesh. Which one did you do for the spirit? And you are complaining that no money. You are complaining of sickness. You are complaining that things are so hard. Because your spirit is not able to receive from the Spirit of God, defeat will come. The next thing is prayer. Prayer is not against the devil. Prayer is the name of the food your spirit also eats. We don't pray because we want to bind the devil. It's not against. Prayer, first and foremost, is a spiritual meal. Is a meal for your spirit to develop. I want you to understand that. So you, even when you are not in need, you still pray. You pray to stay healthy spiritually. Prayer keeps your spirit fit.
That is why you hear Paul say in Ephesians, he said, praying always in all with all manner of prayer in the Spirit. That's why you hear us talk about the word praying in the Spirit. He said, praying in the Spirit, you know why it's so important? It's not about the fact that you are asking for something. It's about the fact that you are understanding that you are a spirit being. And a spirit being must pray to stay healthy in order to receive, to draw from God. So as I'm there, Lord, I worship you today. You see, what am I doing? I'm feeding my spirit. My spirit is being fed. It's that moment, it's like you are eating rice and Coca-Cola. You are eating pomo and whatever you are eating. That is what is happening. Your spirit is being energized. And when your spirit is being recharged and energized, it's like a battery. You stay active. You can carry the weight of the day. You can carry load. Before something happens, you will know. You will know. It's real. Very real. So, prayer is a spiritual meal. Eat it every day. Pray every day. Study your mind. What are you praying for? I'm praying to stay healthy. I pray to connect with my spirit. I'm a spirit being. If I must stay, that's why Jesus said, pray that you be not led into what? Temptation. Prayer keeps you away from sin. It changes your nature. It keeps you away from sin. Listen to me. The more you pray, the more you draw near to God. Don't you realize that? I said, draw near to God. And he will what? Draw near to you. There are some habits, there are some addiction that will begin to break out of your life. Not because you are praying about them, but because you are drawing nearer to God. There are some addictions. Pornography. Womanizing. Alcoholics. Any of those negative addictions, as you begin to draw near to God, you just see that active prayer life keeps the devil away. Active prayer life keeps the devil away. Pray that ye enter not into what? Temptation. You know what? Prayerlessness leads you into a life of sin. It leads you into temptation. Are you with me? I'm talking about staying healthy as a spirit being. The last one. I've talked about prayer, talked about the word. The last one is a life of obedience. A life of obedience. You see, the day you became born again, you are no longer your own. You now belong to God. So you don't do things as you feel. You do it as commanded. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you really love me, you will keep my commandment and obey. You keep and obey my commandment. John 14, 15. If you love me, if you are born again, you will keep and obey his commandment. John 14, 21. I'll read from ERV. Those who really love me are the ones who not only know my commands, but also obey them. My Father will love such people, and I will love them. Watch it now. And I will make myself known to them. It's getting interesting. Obedience is often the missing link in the life of most children of God. Watch again. John 14, 23. He said, remember 14, 21 said, I will make myself known to them. John 14, 23, Amplified Bible. Amplified. It says, Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, love here could mean saved. If you are truly saved, because to be born again means to love the Lord, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him. Watch. And we will, look at the plural, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, God the Father and the Son. So we will come to him and make our home, abode, special dwelling place with him. This way you are feeling, I'm feeling dry. Check your life of obedience. Oh, I'm feeling dry. It's like God is not with me. Check your level of obedience. Love is what? Obedience. Love is obedience.
Because the Bible said the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus himself, will come to you. Will come to you. And they will make his abode with you. Obedience is key. Is somebody with me? Verse 24. Anyone who does not really love me does not observe and obey my teaching. Do you see? And the teaching which you hear and heed is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. Obedience. 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 How are you obeying the Lord? Joseph, are you really obeying God? Emmanuel, are you obeying God? There is no way you can say you are born again and you want to see more, you move from glory to glory without saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Now, let's now talk about obedience a bit before we round up. You know, one of the things that the Bible says about the end time is that even the very elect might be deceived. The Bible called the devil a deceiver. Now, if someone wants to deceive you, he must be able to do something in a way that you don't suspect so that he can execute his action. Do you agree with me or not? A deceiver is someone who actually masquerades himself. He has been able to hide his intention or the real thing so that you can fall prey for it. So if he wants to swindle you of money, that's why those who call people on phone, when they want to swindle them of money, they want your token. They don't shout at you. Do you realize that? They'll say, give me your token now. They'll say, hello, hello. We are from First Bank. We are trying to, your BVN is this. Your name is this. Your DUSON is this. All right, can you please give us your, we are sending a code to you now so that we can help you. And you too, you think you are, he wants to kill you. He wants to carry all your money. But he's talking in a way that you would think that he's your friend. Wow. Those who want to take your phone sometime, when you sit by them in the car, they can start a conversation with you. And as your friend, they can start about asking you to, you just believe that this person is my friend. Meanwhile, he is. That's what deception does. Deception makes you relax so that you are not suspicious of the real motive. That's why they are dangerous. Now, if the Bible says in the last days, even the church will be deceived, that means the devil will creep into our churches in a manner that we will think that we are still doing the right thing, pleasing God. God is pleased with us. Actually, God has left long time ago. If the devil is going to deceive the church, it means he's going to come in a way where we will think that what we are doing is the right thing, is pleasing to God. So that we will not even ever wake up from our slumber or sleep that, hey, we have backslided. That's deception in the church. We will not suspect it. We will think we are still doing God a favor. But when we then examine our actions with the word of God, then we realize that, hey, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Which I think one of the areas that the devil has deceived us as a church or as Christians, is to think that you can be a good Christian, a strong Christian, without obeying the Great Commission. I think it's one of the deceptions. Because you see, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, to Revelation, even when in the book of Revelation, the bride says to the church, if you hear, I've forgotten how he said it in Revelation. Let him that have hear what the Spirit says to the church. And to this church, we think that we can be good church, great church, by the numbers we have, and not just by actively involving in soul winning in the Great Commission. Why is it called Great Commission? Great Commission, you will never see that name in the Bible. No, you won't see the word Great Commission in the Bible. It was actually popularized by a man called Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China. And he said it's a Great Commission, one, because it's the words of the Great Commission were the last words of Jesus. The last words of Jesus. Go ye into all the world and preach. Even before he resurrected in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon me, and you shall be what? Witnesses. Now, unto me, where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to where? Can we say that that is still the vision of our churches today? The answer is no. The only way when we receive power, what we want to do is to jackpot with the power. If we are actually jackpotting for gospel's sake, it will have been nice. Do you know that the difference between most our brother in the other religion, Islam, and Christians, is that if you go and check church history, how did Islam spread throughout Europe? Today they've taken over UK. They use what the tactics of refugee. So they create crisis in the Middle East. Then the nice European countries accept them. Then Saudi Arabia in turn and the Muslim countries will send them money to build mosques and everything wherever those refugees are. Today, the fastest growing religion is not Christianity anymore. It's Islam. And do you know the difference? They jackpot for Islam's sake. We, Christians, we jackpot for pocket's sake. Go and check. It's for our selfish purpose. We want to make more money. No, we want to spread. But Jesus said, you shall receive power to travel out after that the Holy Ghost has come upon me. But what is the purpose? You shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Witnesses unto me. When he gives you a job in that place, that means that that is your new place of assignment. Witnesses unto me. Are you still a witness? The answer is no. But come, John. If I say, John, go and bring my iPad. Please come. Go. Please come. Is it possible for you to go? Can you please go? Will you go? Might you go? Are you in a good feeling to go? Now, what's the difference between this conversation and the other one? I say, go. Huh? One is what? The first one is what? A command. Does a command leave us with an option? No, sir. No, does a command leave us with an option? No. When I say go, I mean I've exerted all my authority and whatever it is to say that you must what? Go. But when I'm saying, can you go? May you go? Might you go? Will you go? Will you probably go? Do you feel like going? There is an option, right? Yes, sir. Give him Mark 16:15. Let's look at it. Mark 16:15. Let's look at it. Mark 16:15, guys, put it up on the screen. And he said unto them, what did he say?
Go.
Say, go.
Go.
When we are not go, he did not say, might you go, will you go? That is why it's called great commandment, great commission. It's a commission. Every soul winner is a commissioner. You are a commissioner. You have been commissioned to go. In fact, another name we should call a believer is a commissioner. My fellow commissioner. Well, we have been commissioned to go. But you see, we don't go. We want to please him without going. We do every other thing without going. We want to be strong Christian without going. A church that is not on the go is a bedridden church. That is why you see that when we are no longer going, you see, anywhere you see the word soul winning, there is always a verb. Go, 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 go.
In fact, even when Paul talks about the spiritual armor in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, have your feet shone for the preparation of the gospel. He didn't say, he didn't use arm for the gospel. He used the word feet because the gospel is a movement. It's for movement. He didn't use that. He said, have your loins girt with the preparation of the gospel of with truth. Breastplate of what? Breastplate of righteousness. But when it comes to the gospel, he said, he uses where? Leg. Always, the gospel is associated with leg. Not hand. Not head. It's leg. Because it is the instruction for us to move. Are you on the move for God? We are no longer moving. So obesity is threatening. You see, in the old nature, they will recommend exercise for you. That take exercise to stay fit, right? And we do this exercise, right? In this new kingdom, how do we stay fit? Our exercise is what? Soul winning. The gospel. Every time we win soul, we are keeping fit as a church. As a Christian, you stay fit through soul winning. In your old nature, you stay fit through physical exercise. In your new nature, spiritual exercise, one of the key is soul winning. Going into the world. When we are not going, we have been crippled by the devil. And so we sit down there. Some of the sermon I'm preaching, last Friday I was preaching, before I mentioned one of my points, AY mentioned it. It shows, you see, this is not bad, right? But there will be somebody who have not even heard the sermon for once. Rehoboam said in his word, he said, how can you hear the gospel twice when there is someone who have not heard it once? You have not heard, you have heard it 20 times. What is the essence of Sunday, Tuesday? When nobody is even hearing what you have heard. We were here on Sunday. We are here Tuesday. Then we come back again on Sunday. Then we'll be here, join online on Tuesday. What is it? It's to push us to move for the Lord. Are you with me? This is how to live in the Spirit. This is how to live in the Spirit. Now let's quickly look at Romans chapter 10 verse 14. I would like to read Romans 10, 14 from two verses. So let's start from KJV first. Romans 10, 13 to 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? Are you guys there? And how shall they hear without a preacher, kerizo? A preacher is one who announces, kerizo. Hey, just like a town crier. That is who we are, town crier. That's why we hear the word, don't broadcast and those things. We are supposed to be town criers. That's what a preacher does. Believe, Jesus loves you. That is preaching. Preaching means to do the work of a town crier, kerizo. Believe, be saved, Jesus cares. That is what, how can they hear, how can they be saved without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Except they move. Except they move. As it is written. I told you that the gospel is always associated with what? Feet. As it is written. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach what? The gospel of peace. And bring glad tidings of good things. Let's read the same thing from Message Bible. Romans 10, 14. Message Bible. I think you have it in your scriptures. Message Bible, Romans 10, 14. How can people call for help? I like this one because of the video I'm about to show you. How can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? How can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why the scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away, grand procession of people telling all the good things of God. Ooh. Did you hear that?
telling all the good things of God. But not everyone is ready for this. Ready to see and hear and act. Isaiah asked, what we all ask at one time or another. Does anyone care? God? Is anyone listening and believing a word of it? The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there is nothing to listen to. Unless Christ's word is preached, there is nothing to listen to. On Sunday, I think it was Saturday. A devastating attack happened in Israel. I'm going to ask them to show you a video. I followed the event. Guys, you can pull up the screen. I want you to watch something when they show it. Just feel free to pray. One of the scenes, you know, they are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacle. 50 years ago, there was what we call Yom Kippur War, which was another surprise attack, where they were attacked. But this one was on Easter Day. But, you know, the Feast of Tabernacle is for... Now, watch. What you're about to watch is something that happened. Now, pause first. Pause here. Pause. You see where the thing is showing like a sun, the bright part. It's not the sun. This camera just illuminated that in that background. So all the young people in Israel, over 1,000 of them, on Saturday, celebrating the Feast of Tabernacle, they came out partying. They were enjoying themselves, having a nice time. Oh, it's a Feast of Tabernacle. But at this particular place where they've all gathered, literally don't know you may not see it, but you see the aftermath, was their enemy, Hamas. They took parachutes, gliders, and they launched into the air. So the small dot you will see where that light is showing is they were in the air. Already, this is since the creation of Israel, modern Israel, which is 75 years ago, they've not suffered any civilian casualty or hostage taking like this event that is ongoing. It's the most devastating event. And what was it that made it devastating? The enemy knew that if they can catch them unaware. And you see, why it was so bad was that the perimeter fencing, they had some border posts and some surveillance equipment there. So what the guys first did was to take out those cameras, those surveillance equipment, then took out the soldiers that were meant to raise alarm. Now, they knew that if they can take out those who are meant to raise alarm, then they can parachute into the air, land successfully, because the people will be on aware. That was what happened. So watch now. Watch what happened here. You can go ahead and play. So you see, some of them, you see these girls still dancing. A lot of them are dead now. Dancing. Some few minutes later, look at what happened. Some few minutes later, look at what happened. Running in the desert. Everything had just changed. A lot of them, see, those were dancing some few minutes ago. Now, tragedy has struck. This girl is dead now. She was one of the Instagram, whatever. Look at them. These are Jews. Look at all their cars parked just past Saturday. Why was it that this attack was so devastating? Because of the surprise elements that the enemy were able to launch on them. The enemy succeeded in launching a surprise attack. Listen. Jesus said he will come like a thief. This is the girl I said that is a very popular model or something like that. Dead now. Now they said over 300 dead, over 1,500 injured. This is the mother of the girl and everything. You can take it out now. But what do I want to say? Why am I saying this to you? You and I are here tonight. On Sunday when we finished our fellowship in the evening, I decided that I was going for visitation to visit some of the people that came to church. And among them was a first-timer, a lady who came to church for the first time, or a friend brought her. So I was tired, but I said, let me go. This was around 8, 9. I think we finished our meeting around 7, so it must have been around 9. So before I go, I can do one more visitation. Let me go. I went to the place, same place we are going again this Saturday, called Aronsiolu Street. When I got to that place, I was shocked at what I saw. I think the oldest among them should be maybe 30, 28, but you see 17 young boys. They blocked the entire streets around 9. In their M everywhere. Canopies in the middle of the street and everything. So I was surprised. Sunday evening, this party, I think there should be over 200 for my estimation. Around 9. Young people. This was the same street we went to last month. I know we go like cowards, you know. But bold, shut down the street. Then, the people I went to go and visit, I asked them, what is going on here? So, is the naming, is the birthday of a one-year-old baby. Say, what did you say? Say, birthday party for a one-year-old baby. And they've shut down with all this India M and everything. And the girl, is Yahoo baby. I said, wow. So, I said to myself, I'm not going to live here. If they can block the same street I came to last week, I can do something. So I said, take me to the father and the mother of the baby. I want them. Say, Pastor, I said, take me there. Take me there. So I went into the, and Lendayel, I came to greet Baba, birthday girl. Say, Yellow, where is Yellow? So I got to know his name is Yellow. I said, where is Yellow? Yeah. I said, tell him, Yellow, you didn't invite me. Why will you invite all these people? I'm Yellow's pastor. Pastor, Yellow half pastor. So where's Yellow baby? Bring. So they said inside. So I went, knock on the door. Mama Yellow, come out. Bring baby Yellow. And they all went. Pastor Joe was with me. Everybody was shocked. What is going on? Because they could see I was on my official wear. I think I was on suit and everything. So reluctantly they brought the baby. I said, Neil, I want to pray for you. And I pray with all my heart. Every power. After I pray, I said, where is Yellow? He says, he's coming. Tell him I'm coming back next Saturday. Yellow, he has a pastor now. He has a pastor now. Mama Yellow, you too, you have a pastor. This baby is a glorious baby. I'm coming back here and Yellow family is now in Christ. I went to the DJ. I said, I want to pray for all these guys. He said, no, he will not stop his music. I said, eh? So I put my hand on the DJ. All the guys, they were watching. Everybody was like, why should I be ashamed? Why should I be ashamed? Yeah. I put my hands around them and I said, in the name of Jesus, I prayed it in Yoruba. And do you know my prayer? They were not going to say amen. So I know the prayer that can get them. In Yoruba, Jesus. They did answer. Bobo ye ni kuku mobad. He said, amen. Yeah. I know. It's a prayer point. But as I left there that night, I said to myself, the words of William Carey came to my mind tonight as I was preaching. And what is William Carey? He said, Christians must use means. Let me quote the word. I want to quote the word of William Carey, missionary. He said, an inquiry into the obligations of Christians to use means for the conversion of the heathen. To use means for the conversion of the heathen. What is your money doing? Somebody blocked the road. to use means, supply whatever, to just to make sure that he will tell the devil that his prosperity is in the right hand to influence his generation. But here we are. We will not use what God has blessed us with, even our mouth that is free and our leg, to advance the work of God. We will be filled with several excuses. I will end this sermon tonight by showing you the vision of the founder of Salvation Army, William Booth. He slept one night and God showed him this vision. If you can put sound to this, all right, this video, I think just enable it. I think it has a sound. Don't play the Keith Green yet. Just, I want to see, this is a true vision that God showed William Booth, and see whether it describes any one of us here. It's been several years of this vision, but it's still happening in our churches today. Because just away from us here, Sunday, I just told you what happened. Meanwhile, the churches, those guys would not be here, could be here, but because a lot of us are busy with our own thing. I want us to watch the video of William Booth. Guys, if you have it, I would really appreciate if you can show it now. And it's a vision that is worth watching. They've now animated it, put it on screen so that we all can see. So, can you, is there sound for it? If there's sound for it, now, so watch this as we go. So, William.
Cursing and drowning. And out of this dark, angry ocean, I saw a mighty rock that rose up with its summit towering high above the stormy seas.
And you can give us volume.
At the base of the rock, I saw a vast platform. And on this platform, I saw with delight a number of the poor wretches continually climbing out of the angry ocean. And I saw that some of those who were already safe on the platform were fervently helping the poor creatures still in the angry waters to reach safety. But something puzzled me. Although they had all been rescued at one time or another from the ocean, nearly everyone seemed to have forgotten all about it. Anyway, the memory of its darkness and danger no longer troubled them. And what was equally strange and perplexing to me was that most of these people did not seem to have any care, that is, any agonizing care, about the poor perishing ones who were struggling and drowning right before their eyes. But then I saw something wonderful. I saw a great being from above come straight from his palace, right through the dark clouds. And he leapt right into the raging sea among the drowning people. And there I saw him toiling to rescue them until the sweat of his great anguish ran down in blood. And he was continually crying to those already rescued, to those whom he had helped with his own bleeding hands, to come and help him in the painful and laborious task of saving the lost. But the strangest thing of all was that those on the platform to whom he called were so taken up with their trades and professions and money saving and pleasures and families and community and gatherings and religions and arguments about it that they did not respond to the cry that came to them from this wonderful being who had himself by his spirit gone down into the sea. And so the multitude went on struggling and shrieking and drowning in the darkness. And then I saw something that seemed stranger than anything that had happened before in this very strange vision. Those whom this wonderful being cried out to come and help him in his difficult task were always praying and crying to him to come to them. Some wanted him to come and stay with them and spend his time and strength in making them happier. Others wanted him to come and take away various doubts and misgivings they had concerning the truth of some letters which he had written them. Others wanted him to come and make them feel more secure on the rock, so secure that they would be totally sure they would never slip off again. They used to meet and get as close to the rock as they could, and looking towards the mainland where they thought the great being was, they would cry out, "Come to us! Come and help us!" But all this time, he was down among the poor drowning creatures, crying to them in a hoarse voice, "Come to me, come and help me." And then I understood it all. It was plain enough. That sea was the ocean of life, the sea of real, actual human existence. Those multitudes of people struggling in the stormy sea were the billions of sinners from every race, language, and nation. That great sheltering rock was Calvary, the place of the cross. And the people on it were those who had been rescued from sin and hell and who professed to be followers of Jesus Christ. That mighty being who called to them from the tempest was the Son of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is still struggling to save the dying multitudes about us from this terrible doom of damnation, and whose voice can be heard above the music and machinery and noise of life, calling on the rescued to come and help him save the world. My friends in Christ, you are rescued from the waters. You are on the rock. Jesus is in the dark sea, calling on you to come and help him. Will you go?
Hallelujah. Stand to your feet tonight. That is a question you and I need to ask ourselves. Will we go? Will we go? And I believe that God is still calling to us out of our busy schedule, out of our busy task. If I decide to go home on Sunday because I've preached, I've done great things, and not even went the extra mile to go for one more visitation that night, I would not have realized that there were more people in hell than those who came to church that Sunday morning. I would have thought that I was a great pastor, but the Lord made me realize that there were one man who organized more souls than I did, than we all did together on a Sunday morning. He did it for hell, but what are we doing? I want to encourage you. I want you to play the sound of Keith Green. Jesus is calling to you tonight. You are on the platform. What is your prayer? You are still praying about your work, praying about your needs, but will you say yes to God? This is why we are saved. It's time to be fit again. It's time to go the extra mile to tell people of the love of God. He wants to meet your needs, but he wants you to meet his own needs. Why are we on this platform? So that we can get more job? So that we can marry? So that we can have good career? So that we can raise good family? He raised us from that water so that we too can throw the line. Throw the line. Throw the line. And save more soul. I want us to say tonight, I know we are all guilty, including myself. We are no longer, you know, I've been praying. In fact, I had to say to myself, I'm taking out the time to fast for God to rekindle my love for the lost. It's a real thing that we can backslide and forget why we are on the platform. It's a real thing that we all can forget why the church exists. So tonight you have heard this message again. On your way home, you will see them drowning all around us. They've not heard the gospel, even in our land. But all that has to change. So tonight I want us to pray for the Lord. Increase it. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm sorry. In every way I've been self-centered. In every way, everybody just talk to God. Lord, I am repenting. Oh Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Look, can we lift us? We are repenting as a people. We are repenting as a church. We overcome every excuses that is not making us go into the masses, into the sea where many people are drowning. We are sorry, Lord. In every way, we have been looking the other way, concerned with our own life, concerned with our own needs, and not about those who are drowning. Lord, have mercy. Lift your voice and talk to God. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. In any way, I've been engulfed in my own problem, in my own little world, in my own little world. I'm not thinking of the lost anymore. Lord, tonight we repent as a church. We repent as a people. Have mercy. Have mercy.
Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. In any way, we don't care for this lost anymore. Care for souls. Care for those who are dying and perishing. In any way, we are not throwing in the line so that people can come and join us on this platform. But we are rather commercializing, self-centered about our needs. Lord, have mercy. We pray for mercy. We repent tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. We repent tonight. We repent tonight. We repent tonight. We repent tonight. Oh, yes. We repent tonight. We repent tonight. We repent tonight. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, I want you to pray. What is a prayer? He asked Peter 3 times, do you love me more than this? And he said, yes. He said, feed my sheep. I want you to pray for yourself. Say, Lord, help me to love you above all else in my life. Lord Jesus, use me for your glory. Fill me more with the love. To help me to love what you love. More than my own ambition. More than my own vision. Lord Jesus, I am here. Help me. Pray for the love of God to fill your heart. And that love for the lost to fill your heart. The love for the dying world. The love that overcomes every excuses as not to reach out and save the soul. Pray that the love of God will take over your heart today. Can we lift up our voices everywhere online and in person as we pray again tonight? Let's lift our voice as we pray again tonight. Let's lift our voice as we pray again tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray for your love, oh God. More of your love in our heart, oh God. More of your love in our heart, oh God. More of your love in our heart, oh God. We pray for the love of God to fill our heart, saturate our life tonight with your love in the name of Jesus. Oh, precious Father, take over our lives, saturate our life with your love, fill our heart with your love, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Oh, for your love, for your love, for your love, more love, more love. Help us to love you above all else, that we will love you above all else. We overcome every selfish desire, every selfishness, to love you more, to love you more, to love you more, to love you more, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you for your love, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Can we place our hands on our chest tonight? Say with me, dear Heavenly Father, we acknowledge our unfaithfulness to the Great Commission. We repent tonight. We repent tonight. And we ask for forgiveness. In every way, we have been selfish, self-centered, consumed by our needs, by our own concerns, and not your concern. We repent and ask for forgiveness. In every way, we have turned a deafening ear, to your cry for help. We repent tonight. And tonight, Lord, we say, yes, Lord. Use us for your glory. Yes, Lord. Use us for exploit. Yes, Lord. Use us to save those who are drowning from perishing. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for reminding us of our obligation to use resources to save the lost. Tonight, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that this word that we have heard will awaken our conscience and our heart to your responsibility again. In the name of Jesus. And I ask of you, Heavenly Father, that every one of us, you will use us for your glory. Thank you for saving us, bringing us from the dying world to the ocean, from the ocean to the platform where we can be saved. Now, Lord, we ask, use us for your glory. Our finances, our voice, our talent, our resources, or even our life, use us for your glory. Lord, this land will be saved. We declare Satan lose your hold over this land. We destroy the grip of darkness upon this land. We command the power of the enemy over this land to be shattered in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, reign in our land. Reign in our land. And Lord, as a church, strengthen us to do more for you. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Thank you for tuning in on this episode. We hope you've been blessed and empowered to transcend new heights of faith and growth. Stay connected with us for more empowering and faith-filled messages. And remember, you are part of a community committed to transformation. Until next time, go forth empowered by God's grace.